Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
By 100th kid, another hour. So we get back to camp, they're crying, another hour, and they're all muddy and filthy. And I'm just laughing. I didn't say crawl in the weeds. I said there's a ball in the weeds. Well, we didn't hear that. It was crawl in the weeds. And I thought, you know, it's interesting. The further you are away from the guide, the more mutated the instructions become. Question, how close are you walking to Jesus?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, a message given on the 17th anniversary of New Hope, where Pastor Wayne teaches on the importance of recognizing God's voice. And how do we learn to recognize it, you ask? We'll find out in just a moment, but first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope. Here now is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Our Trustworthy Guide.
Woo-hoo! My goodness. Well, it's been a wonderful journey these 17 years, so happy anniversary to each of you. But today we don't want to just talk about the journey. I want to talk about the guide that has taken us on this journey, the trustworthy guide that we have. You know, as we're going through the life lessons of David, life lessons of a king, I look at David's life, and it was quite a journey. And it wasn't some straight freeway line. There were sometimes it was a free fall. Sometimes there were switchbacks. But it didn't mean that God wasn't leading him when things seemed to detour. It was still God who was the trustworthy guide. And when we cannot see his hand, we can still trust his heart. Because he's a trustworthy guide. David's life was quite a scenario. He started off as the least of his brothers, and then when he surfaces in his public life, he has to face a giant, Goliath. Soon thereafter, he has to run like a fugitive from King Saul. Then his best friend Jonathan dies. David then becomes king, has to bring a broken nation together, and then he slips. He slips with Bathsheba. Reprimanded by God, his child dies. He then recoups his energies and his faith, and he begins serving God. Just then, one of his sons, Absalom, turns in mutiny, and David is expelled from Jerusalem. He returns, his son Absalom is killed, and then there's a fight for the throne. Adonijah and Solomon, he has to make a quick intervention to save the throne. So if you take a look at David's life, it's anything but smooth. It was very rocky, but yet God was leading him all the way. In fact, at the top of your notes, he writes a poem about that, and it's taken from one of the most classic of all psalms in literature. It's called the Shepherd's Psalm. And we read this portion together, and would you read it with me? Go. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his... Stop right there. Would you underline, he guides me. God is a trustworthy guide. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, not everything is going to be righteous and smooth. Let's continue. Go. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art... Underline those last few words. Thou art with me. You see, sometimes God's going to lead us in a path of righteousness, and it's wonderful. Woo-hoo! It's a downhill slide. Gleeful. Other times, he's going to lead us on a detour through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not traversed that often. But even though I don't know what the future holds, I know who holds the future, and that's a trustworthy guide. We all need a guide, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We all need a guide. In our marriages, our future, our finances, we need a guide. And to prove that to you, I'm going to put you through a little exercise. Are you ready? This is what I'm going to have you do. In just a moment, I'm going to have you close your eyes, and I'm going to have you point in a certain direction that I'm going to tell you to point in. Please be careful when you do that you don't take off someone's nose or hit someone's head as you point. So be careful of that. But then when I have you point and you point there, I want you to hold that position for at least 10 seconds after we open our eyes so that we can see the results. Are you ready? All right, here we go. Everybody close your eyes. On a count of three, point to true north. One, two, three, go. Okay, hold it, hold it, hold it, don't move. Okay, open your eyes. Don't move, look at everybody's hands. We are in trouble. You're saying there, you're saying here, you're saying there, you're saying this, you're saying there. Okay, you're saying over here. Okay, all right. All right, good. You're saying over there. Good, good, good. I'm not going to go anywhere with you or with you or with you. True North is right over here. Right over here. But you see, some of you are so convinced. It's there. I know. It's right out that door. And we can think that's right, but it's completely wrong. So we know that Christians have no idea where they're going. And how much do we need a guide when it comes to geographical compass leadings? How much more do we need a guide when it comes to life, our families, and our eternities? And that's what I want to talk to you about today, the need for our trustworthy guide. And you know what the Lord says? Hey, listen, I'll guide you. You say, yeah, Wayne, what if I'm not sure where True North is? Here's my answer. Find the one who does and stay close. Stay close. And the one who says that he will guide you is right here in Psalm 32. David writes again. Would you read this with me? Go. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch. Isn't that a great invitation? Here's my suggestion. When God gives you that kind of invitation, take it. Take it. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your guide or your Lord and your Savior, do that today. I'm going to give you a chance at the end of this service. But boy, I tell you, it'll be the most eternal and the wisest and the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Because as you just saw, we have no idea where we're going. We need a guide. And Jesus says, I will do that if you'll open your heart. Especially when it comes to truth, let's read what John 16:13 says, go. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Did you know that truth requires a guide? The truth about your future, the truth about your marriage, the truth about your own soul, you require a guide. He will guide you into all truth. Truth needs a guide. You won't be able to get it that way. Otherwise, we as a nation are trying to endorse all these different directions to the point where our nation is saying, hey, whichever way you point is cool, man. Let's just have it all. Let's just, whichever way is you think is true north, it's cool. We're a nation that embraces diversity. Yes and no. We're in trouble because all that breeds is confusion and lostness. An ever-increasing lostness. Especially when it comes to our soul, you need to know where true north is. And everyone corrects to that. We don't correct true north to the way we're pointing. We correct the way we're pointing to true north. And that's what the scripture is all about. And that's why we need a guide. So you say, well, Wayne, what if I don't know what tomorrow holds? It's all right. Just make sure you stay close to the one who holds tomorrow. So would you write in number one? Here's the first thing that we've got to do is, number one, stay close to the guide. Stay close to the guide. Read with me what Psalms 73 and verse 28 says. Read it, go. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my Yeah, would you underline the nearness of God is my good? Stay near. There's a big difference between being a Christian and being a disciple that follows close to Jesus. See, being close to Jesus and knowing Jesus are two different things. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but they're following Jesus from a large distance in between. There's a huge proximity of distance between them and Jesus. Are they still Christians? Yep. But I tell you, the further you are away from Christ, the less you hear. You need to stay close to the guide, to press into Him, to spend time with Him, to hang out with Him. Stay close to Him. Stay close to Him. There's a big difference between being a church person and being close to the head of the church. Follow closely. When I was a youth pastor, I remember having a youth camp, 125, 150 kids, and these kids, when they arrived at camp, it was like they were bouncing off the ceiling. It was like they had taken an intravenous amount of caffeine for the last couple of hours, and then they came to camp. They were just like gabongers. So when we finally got them to bed at about 11 o'clock, I said to the counselors, we can't have this tomorrow, man. We got a whole week ahead of us, and these kids are like crazy. They're on drugs. So we got to figure out a way to drain the energy out of them. So I said, I tell you what we'll do. Let's get them up at 2 a.m. and take them on a midnight hike through the forest so that tomorrow they'll be so stinking tired, we will have a good time. So it's all right, great idea. So we got our pots and pans, and what we did is we devised a trail through the forest, and then we put little things like a ball in the weeds, and they have to recognize that because at the end of the hike, we give them a test to see which ones they saw and recognized, and the little exercises we had them do. And the ones that did it and recognized, yeah, there was this or there was that, there was this, they'll get points for their team because we had them all broken up in teams. So we wake them up with these pots and pans, and they're just bleary-eyed, their pajamas, and they get out there in the baseball field, and I said, today we're going to do a midnight hike. Is that exciting? No. And so I said, we're going to go out here, and we're just going to have a blast. Now, the only thing is, I'm the only one that has a flashlight. Darkness impels the rest of them. And so I said, so follow me. Now make sure that when we tell you what to do, you do it. So we're going through, and there's 125 kids in the black darkness, right, going up these mountains. They have no idea what's going on. And then there's a big ball in the weeds. So I'll say, shine the light, ball in the weeds. And they have to pass it down, ball in the weeds, ball in the weeds. Well, after about 50 or 60 kids, there's a degeneration of sound. There's a deterioration of the message. So about by the 75th kid, it's not ball in the weeds, it's crawl in the weeds, crawl in the weeds, crawling in the weeds. This is so stupid, crawl in the weeds. So they're just filthy with mud. And then we go a little further and there's like a mud puddle or something. So I shine down, I say, muddy water, muddy water, muddy water. And well, about 60th kid, it's like nutty otter, nutty otter. By 100th kid, another hour, another hour, another hour. So we get back to camp, they're crying another hour and they're all muddy and filthy. You know, and I'm just laughing. I didn't say crawl in the weeds. I said there's a ball in the weeds. Well, we didn't hear that. It was crawl in the weeds. And I thought, you know, it's interesting. The further you are away from the guide, the more mutated the instructions become. Question, how close are you walking to Jesus? Because see, the light dims the further away you go. And what you think is the direction is not. What you thought you heard, you're convinced that's what Jesus said. That's what God said. No, he didn't say that at all. And when I hear people misinterpreting the Bible and using it for their own aggrandizement, I know they're not close to Jesus. They don't know his heart. They might know an instruction that they heard, but it doesn't match his heart. Listen carefully, you and I will be making 300 decisions a day on the average. And some are as minute as which shoe we're going to put on, which shirt we're going to wear, whether or not we're going to use deodorant. I hope you decided positively for that in the affirmative. But there's 10% of those 300 decisions that will be life-altering, future-shaping decisions about taking an opportunity or not. Making a financial investment or not, saying something in anger or taking this invitation for a side relationship that you know is not right, but it's so appealing and alluring or not. Well, no one will know so, and you make those little decisions and they just shape your future for the good or for the bad. Listen, we need a guide. Because the amount of decisions you're making that are crucial to your future, you need to be able to hear God's voice saying, don't do it, or do this, or do that. Listen, even with financial opportunities, not every opportunity is from the Lord. Because the adversary knows what's alluring to you. And he's not so stupid. He might be defeated, but he's crafty. And he will design something that appeals to your allure. And you'll need to hear the voice of God. And if you're not close to the guide, you'll miss his heart. That's why James chapter 4 and verse 8 says, would you read it? Go. Draw near unto God, and he will draw near. That's why we're so intent on you doing devotions. Because the more time you spend with God, listening to his word, the more you'll catch his heart. Because you need to catch his heart. The first thing you need to do, and the reason why I encourage you to stay close to Jesus, not just know about him, make him a side thing on the side that we do once a week. But the reason it's so important for you to be near to him is so that you can, would you write it down, learn to recognize his voice. There's so many impersonators in this cacophony of voices today where you're having a jangle of different voices and sounds. They're all vying for your appeal, vying for your attention. And you've got to be able to discern from all of these multiplicity of voices, you've got to be able to discern that's God's voice. I know it because that's his heart. And you see, when you're reading the Word of God, you not only see His Word, but you start to understand His heart. Jesus, that's your heart, isn't it? Yeah, oh, that's your heart. Because as I said, there's going to be so many impersonators out there. But you need to know His heart. And the only way that you're going to recognize God's voice is to get really close to Him, to hang out with Him. Because you see, the ones you hear a lot, the voices you hear a lot, are the voices that you'll recognize. In fact, let's read John 10 right under number 2. Would you read it with me? Go. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. He goes ahead of them. Here it is. And the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Underline that. Why do we follow Him? Because we know His voice. See, you are not going to be able to obey unless you know how to recognize His voice. And you won't recognize His voice until you get close to the guide. And you hang out with Him. You know, most of us know people's voices more than we know God's voice. Because we hang out with Him. For example, my wife calls me, "Hi, honey, you going to come home for dinner? What would you like to eat?" I don't answer by saying, "Excuse me, who is this, please?" My wife will go, "Whoa, what is going on here?" She knows I know her voice because we hang out together. I know her voice. If we're in a crowd and she says something, I know that's my wife. I know. Because we hang out together. And the same thing is true with God. The more you hang out with Him, the more you recognize His voice. And same as with people, isn't it? In fact, I'm just going to give you another exercise. I'm going to play a snippet of a voice, and you tell me who this voice belongs to. Are you ready? Okay, you have to listen very carefully. Here's the first one. Who's this? All right, which one? Who's that? Yes, Pastor Rod. And so, Donald Duck, sorry. Yes, Donald Duck. You know that Disney character, whatever. Okay, this one you have to listen more carefully to.
If I say, "Look, we're going to work on the economic empowerment of poor people, on fighting AIDS and other diseases, on trying to bridge the religious and political differences between people, and on trying to, you know, avoid the worst calamities of climate change and help to revitalize the economy in the process," I can actually do that.
Okay, who's that? Bill Clinton, yes. He's even saying to the church, "Good job, that's me, baby, that's me." All right. Now, here's one. You have to listen very closely. It's real short.
I'll be back.
Who's that? Yes, Wayne Cordero. I'd take off my shirt, but it would be disturbing. All right. And then one more. Listen carefully.
And the answer is because it's in our national security interests and our moral interests as a country. One of the things, points I make in the book, I think it's important to live by a certain principle. And one of the principles is, to whom much is given, much is required. We are a blessed nation.
Yep. Who's that? George Bush. You got it. All right. And here's one more. It's going to be in the form of a song.
Who can cook the fried rice?
Who can cook the fried rice?
Noodles and chow fun.
Noodles and chow fun.
Wake up in the morning with diarrhea and the runs.
I'm on a poor man can. Who's that? Bula Ia. You guys are so dysfunctional, let me tell you. Yeah, you know, it's funny that the ones you spend time with, you hear these voices over and over and over again, so now you recognize them. And you know, here's the scary thing. We can recognize celebrities' voices more than we recognize God's. Reason why? We need to spend more time with God. So you'll recognize His voice immediately when He speaks. because it's so absolutely critical that you listen to his voice.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Our Trustworthy Guide by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Tomorrow, we'll learn to not only recognize the voice of God, but also to recognize the heart of God. We hope you'll join us. Now, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.